Well, welcome Sunday morning, those of you who are new, those of you who are regulars, so both the noobs and the vets. Isn't it good to be here together Sunday morning? Trust that for you, in your journey through life, that this isn't just a, Sunday morning, gotta go, mom and dad on my case, gotta do this thing, or my friend put pressure on me, but it becomes your family, your support group. You know, we often say that, like Andrew had us say today, what is this? It's family, you know? It is. It's kind of not blood. It's not like Scoot and Manuela and Danielle who are here, and they're real family, you know? They're like, even sitting on the same couch. Isn't that coincidental, you know? But it's, may we be as much family as they are. Wouldn't that be awesome? Catch up. Okay, there we go. Thank you very much. So we've been looking at these hectic issues over the last months, right? And we carry on. I mean, it's no less hectic today, I guess. So I wonder if you could guess who our superhero is going to be for today. We do this each week where we have a different superhero. Can I give you a little hint? Do you want a clue? For 10,000 Rand, who is the superhero? No, it can't be. Not with a belt like that. Are you sure? I'll give you a little bit more. Do you think so? He's wearing his underpants on the outside of his clothes. That can only be, yes, you're right. Well done. Well, not the last movie, but the previous one, the Superman Returns. Any of you remember seeing that? You have to dig it out the archives if you want, and this is what it looked like. He really is the ultimate, don't you think? Yes, Spidey's okay, and the Batman's in his cave, and, you know, there's some Captain America guys, and but really the ultimate guy who's going to fly in when someone needs help. And I guess if I'm falling down from a building, either by purpose or by accident, I want someone with red underpants to be flying down after me, don't I? I'm praying for the underpant man, with his red cape. And I hope Clark Kent can get out of his clothes quick enough in that little telephone booth. I don't know what he does these days because there's not a lot of telephone booths around. But he's the man, right? He's coming. He's the ultimate rescuer. And there's a time in this comic strip, which hasn't yet appeared in one of the Superman movies, where it turns out there's a lady in desperate trouble, up on a ledge, about to leap down. And the cops are like, what can we do? Superman, would you go and save her? And he flies up and hovers around her and finds out a little bit about what's going on. And she doesn't want to be saved. She wants just to be left. Life's not great. Things are messed up. Life's not fair. She wants to end her life. And he just stays throughout the day and the night. He's there. He promises her, I won't do anything that you don't want. He kind of says, you know what, if you want to do it, you can do it. But I'm here and I'm with you. And in the very end, he says, you know what, you've got two options. One, step off this ledge and fall to your death. And the other is step off and let me catch you. And she makes the right choice. And he flies down with her to safety. And you can just imagine the thunderous applause that comes. When Vicky and her friend Colleen preached 2 weeks ago, they spoke about depression, right? And how that Robin Williams, someone arguably maybe who's entertained us more than any other single person on planet Earth, reached that point of desperation where he took his own life. A stat that was revealed this week, like in September, you know? First week of September is that one person commits suicide every 40 seconds around the world. That's a lot of people. That is huge. That is devastating. It's huge. I want you to share with someone next to you whether you or a friend has ever come close. So you're trying to ask about, is there any experience you've had? Is this just an academic exercise this morning? Or has there been a feeling? Has there been a thought? Has there been a friend, a loved one, a family member or something? And so maybe just let's lay a bit of a foundation for sharing this morning whether there's some commonality among you or your friend. Okay, go. Once again, judging on the interaction, either you finding 99 creative ways to say, no, I have no experience or no connection or no relationship with this topic, or there's something to talk about. And is it the first or the latter? Probably the latter. If this is pain, and this is my resources for coping in these two hands, and think about piling up some pain, right? Piling up the pain on this side, and as it goes down, what's happening? I don't have enough resources. There's not enough weight to cope. My coping resources and abilities are impossible. If someone comes alongside and begins to put something that can help me, something like some hope maybe some way of coping, maybe someone who can come and say, I'll be willing to help you carry that. Maybe if I can have some medicine even, that the pain starts to go away. And if ultimately my coping resources outweigh the pain, guess what? That doesn't become such a good option anymore, does it? It becomes an unnecessary option. But if in a moment of absolute horror and shock, I just am overwhelmed. Do you know that 43% of suicides take place on the spur of the moment? Not premeditated. Something traumatic happens in a quite short space of time, and I'm just unable to cope. I don't feel I've got resources. That is the only option at the moment that seems good. I reckon you are going to be blown away to know that the Bible is not silent in terms of the experience of suicide. Don't you remember Samson? He killed himself, right? He brought that building down around himself. He was a man who was supposed to lead the Israelites into captivity from the Philistines. And he brought that place down on himself. And yes, we could rationalize that there's a positive spin-off to that because all the Philistine generals and everything probably perished. But in that moment, as they had blinded him, he just felt that that was his best option. Saul, wounded in battle, a king who lost his way, who should have been God's chosen, finally says, you know what? I'm not going to let the enemy get the upper hand. I'm going to take my own life. Judas, devastated ultimately with what he's done in betraying Jesus, goes out, despite the money he's earned for his act, ends his life. We could go on. Abimelech, Zimri, Ahithophel, Saul's armor bearer, in that same moment, right after Saul, he takes his own life. There's others who actually hope to die. Moses one time says, I can't take care of all these people. If this is what it's going to be like, just kill me now. Does God do it? I'm sure God like, let me think about it. No, he's like, I don't do that. I don't give in to that. And Jeremiah, Job, Jailer, and Jonah, I'm thinking anyone with a letter J in their name is at risk. No, that's just coincidence. Okay? All of those guys wished to end their life at some point. I mean, that's like dozens of people, right? What are we going to do about a plague, if you like? Something so traumatic, something so final around us. Is there some help? Is there something we can do? Well, maybe we can start by saying, if a friend of ours is suicidal, maybe you're asking, what do I actually do? Okay, so this is not personal at the moment. We'll start here. What if I look around and I see some sign, or I get a message from a friend or something? I want to be that person who comes alongside someone who's really hurting, who's had names thrown at them, who's feeling like they don't fit in, and I want to be that one person who says, you know what, hey, it's okay. I want to look for signs that could indicate that there's something potentially about to go wrong. You know, when someone talks about dying, when someone says, maybe I just want to disappear, or I just wish I could jump off something, or I wish I had a weapon or something, I can't go on. That is a major moment for me to sit up, take notice, and say, this is important. This is serious. Someone who's gone through some loss themselves, maybe someone else, has either committed suicide or there's been a really tragic death or divorce or serious broken relationship. That's a moment to say, hey, sign number two, flags are starting to wave. Someone who goes through a radical change in personality. One moment, everyone's great, the outlook's positive. Next minute, I'm sad, I'm withdrawn, I'm irritable, I'm anxious. But like a radical shift. And it doesn't have to happen over months. It could be quite quick. Suddenly, there's this inability to concentrate. Not anyone that just has trouble concentrating with maths in first period on a Monday morning, okay? Don't refer them all to the school counselor. That's just normal. But if there's a major difficulty in just sticking with the program, so to speak, a serious change in sleep patterns, nightmares, insomnia, waking up early, oversleeping. You might say, well, hey, that's normal. We do that every day, you know. But it's uncharacteristic, I guess. It's suddenly this is manifesting as a sign. A serious, sudden, and dramatic change in eating patterns or habits. Loss of appetite, loss of weight, overeating. Okay, not someone who's on a medically controlled program, right? But someone who's suddenly gone through something really traumatic. A poor view of self. You can hear those thoughts and those words as they're expressed and just, I hate myself. You know, I can't live with myself. I'm so ashamed at what I've done. The guilt is just too high. Someone who says goodbye to people. It's okay if they're going on holiday to France and they say goodbye. But when someone says, hey, it was nice knowing you, that's a sign, a warning sign. If someone gives away those favorite shoes, man, that's uncharacteristic. Often someone who's contemplating taking their life will give away something of great value. You might think, hey, bonus, I've scored. Look at what I've got. Have a look for some of the other signs. Okay, so there's signs, there's warning signs. There's like lights on the dashboard of your friend's life. Maybe you could look out for that. Secondly, once signs begin to manifest, you want to begin to say, okay, can I assess the risk level here? How much at risk is this person? Now, slapping people is not accepted, but I do want you to remember the word slap, okay? It's on the handout that you'll take away with you, but it's obviously an acronym that can help you assess the level of seriousness of this person's plan, right? S, does the person have a specific plan? If someone says to you, I'm going home now and I'm going to end my life, that sounds like quite serious. And if they maybe say, hey, I'll have access. You know, my dad's a hunter, right? I'm like, yeah, I know your dad's a hunter. Well, he doesn't lock his weapons up. Oh, cool. Can I come across sometime to your house and shoot a bit with the guns? I should be listening to what the person's really saying, right? How specific is their plan? Then I'm looking for how lethal is the plan. I'm going home and I'm going to stand on the high chair and I'm going to jump into my couch because I'm ending it all. Is that lethal? Depends how you jump, I guess. You know what I mean? And how old the couch is and whether the springs are showing. The worst thing probably is a bruised lip. But, you know, my dad does have a gun and I've thought of just using it. Is that lethal? Heck, that is. How available is this plan to the person? I think you can see in the scenarios I mentioned, or maybe there's a medicine cabinet and my mom's on tranquilizers and I can take 50 if I want. At that point, you're starting to say, I'm coming home with you, right? I'm following you. I'm stalking you, like Sue Marie in church said this morning. She stalks her little baby who sleeps at night, right? Because she loves him so much. And lastly, is there proximity to help? If the person in this scenario is going home alone, you want to be thinking, hey, could there be help around? Have you ever heard of the phrase suicide watch? Maybe one day in your life, you would end up being on suicide watch for someone, for some friend. Someone that you actually go and you walk with and you stalk and follow. And you say, I'm going to be with you. And that's what Superman promised the girl on the ledge. He said, I'm going to stay here. I don't care how long it takes. I don't know how many bad guys were running around in the city down below, but I'm here. I'm going to be helping out. Okay, so I want to be looking out for signs. I want to be assessing the risk of the individual, and I want to somehow bring some inspiration. We were praying this morning before the service, and Debbie was talking about hope, the importance of hope in our lives. You know, if I can just believe there's a better future, it changes my attitude. It takes my face from here to there. And it's not immediate, okay? It's not just one Bible verse. But have a look at some things that I think could inspire someone in the context of a loving, supportive relationship. Okay, so it's not necessarily the first thing you say to someone, but as you sit with someone who's really at risk, do you know how we were created in the image of God? How unique that makes us, different from any other creature on this earth. When God pronounced things, he said they were good. The flowers were good, and the birds were good, and the lion was good, but when he got to Adam and Eve, he looked back at his master plan and he said, it is very good, very good. We are created very good, perfect. This God who created us, when we messed up so badly, actually came and sent his only son to die for us. I mean, that's huge. I mean, would you kind of give your only child so someone else can go free? I mean, from what I'm hearing from Sue Marie this morning, no. Am I right? It doesn't sound like, Sue Marie, are you going to offer that child up? No. Mm-mm. Not this one. Got a teddy bear. You can have the teddy bear, but not my only child. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good deeds. I am God's workmanship. God works through me. I'm like God's display, you know? I'm on God's Facebook wall. It's like, ta-da, like you're really awesome. Whoa. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in me by his Holy Spirit. Not only did he die for me, but he's come to live inside me, to live through me, to touch people through me. And God works all things out for good. You know, right now, it might seem pretty hopeless, but there's a way that God works out for good. It was a day that Joseph was sold off into slavery. His dad thought he was dead. And in that moment when the dad was dying because of the famine in Israel, that same boy that was sold off into slavery and thought to be dead was the one who came and rescued not only Joseph's father, but that whole Israelite nation. God planned it for good. Even when the devil tries to get us to do bad things and mess with our lives, God works everything out for the good of those who love him. And God will never abandon me. Oh, it feels like it sometimes, doesn't it? Who's ever had a moment when it feels like God's not there, God doesn't care, God's not with me? I mean, be honest. There's human feelings and emotions that come into this. Like, where is he in this? He's there with us, you know? Walking with us. He hasn't chosen to stand over my shoulder and shoot everyone that comes near me. There wouldn't be a lot of people left, you know? It's guns blazing or people just dropping dead like, he was going to crash into you. I mean, I don't know if I want to live in a world like that, right? You know? But God is with me, prompting, whispering. I can connect people. I can connect them to some resources, something that's going to help. I don't know if you know, but not too really hard, but metanoia means change. There's this phenomenal site. There's two I want to mention, and the links are on the handout. There's one, metanoia.org, suicide. Fabulous. It just, if you go to that site, you just get drawn in. Who's ever written this obviously has a lot of experience. And there's another one, suicide.com. Not hard to remember. Hey, come with me. Let's jump online. Let me hook you up and connect you. I want you to have a look at something that's been written, and let's just see what hope we get out of that. Sometimes just pausing in the midst of where we're at and what's happening, stepping back, looking around, almost like we freeze frame the action, and I'm looking at, I wish it was Hollywood sometimes, where they can do that in the middle of a movie and pause and slow down and rewind. And there's a sense in which I can slow down life. And where necessary, I'm going to refer people. that are seriously at risk. I'm going to say, you know what? Can I come with you to the school counselor? Can I come with you? There's a guy in our church. There's a lady in the church. There's someone. I'm going to find out who I can get you help from. Because you know what? Your future is way better than the past. If I'm just thinking the whole time about my past failures or my present difficulties, what can outweigh those is the future possibilities of what might happen in my life. Maybe that will help me be that one who could ultimately look back and say, you know what? That guy is alive because I walked with that individual and I talked them down off the ledge. Okay? You have a friend who needs help? Are you up for doing something? I am, you know, because ultimately I guess I am my brother's keeper. What if, maybe we can bring it a little bit closer to ourselves now, but what if I'm suicidal? You might think, come on, Mark, you know me, I'm the life of the party. You know, this doesn't happen. Hang in there. Life happens, stuff happens. Remember, the pain, as it gets heavier and heavier and there's not enough coping resources, who knows what can happen. There's probably arguably the most well-known comedian who's unfortunately getting a bit dated and aged, Drew Carey. Anyone heard of him? Whose line is it anyway? I'm not sure. You might recognize his face. You'd have to rely on reruns. And I want you to listen to what he says.
The first time I tried to kill myself, it wasn't even a serious attempt, I don't think. I was in college, I was 18. I was really depressed and really angry about things all the time, and I couldn't straighten it out in my head. And I remember going to a frat party. I was in a fraternity. I remember coming to the party, and everybody was having a good time and laughing and meeting girls, and I was just, why are they having a good time? What do they got to be happy about? You know, I just couldn't understand why I was so miserable. And I thought, well, if I'm going to go to the bother of joining the service, you know, I might as well join the Marines. But then I was afraid if I wouldn't like it full time, so I joined the Reserves. And that's how I ended up in the Marine Reserves. And I was so happy to be in boot camp, I'm telling you. I was the happiest Marine because I was getting three meals a day, which I didn't have before. I was on my own, not living on my brother's couch, which I loved. You know, I was making new friends. I didn't have any friends when I lived in Vegas, just a couple guys I hung out with every once in a while. You know, I was meeting good friends and bonding with people, exercising. You know, I really, really enjoyed boot camp. I was a meritorious PFC out of boot camp, and that really helped me. You know, that gave me a lot of self-esteem being in the military. Somebody writes you a Dear John letter, breaks up with you. It's not the end of the world. Somebody else will be out there for you. I'm the way I am now because of actions I've taken and, you know, advice I got and surrounding myself with positive thinking people and positive environments, you know. And I do see, I honestly see a therapist now, and I'm glad I do. If you think it's weak to have somebody see a counselor or to somebody get help for a problem, you're living in the 50s. Seriously. You check your watch.
Great day to be alive, isn't it? Isn't it great being alive?
If you're in a situation right now where you don't know where you should live or not, you should get some help. Seriously, you need to see a counselor, a chaplain, whoever. And the first person you see might not help you. You just keep seeing people till you find somebody comfortable you can talk with and talk all this stuff out.
Maybe the hardest thing is to actually admit it. To actually admit that me, the good guy from a good family, you know, that I have these thoughts and these feelings. The most important thing you can do is look in the mirror and say, we have a problem here maybe. That I have these feelings, these thoughts that aren't cool. And I don't know what to do and I'm overwhelmed to just say, hey, I need to deal with this stuff. I am suicidal. And it's not just because I'm singing suicidal maybe. The second thing I think to do that sometimes we either forget to do or we don't think of doing is to actually lift the head up and talk to Father and say, God, there is stuff going on that is beyond my ability to cope. Would you send help? Would you step down from heaven and come and help? And God, I'm asking for help. There's something else that we can do, and that's to tell someone, a friend. someone that we trust, a peer, someone that you're in relationship with. Maybe for some of you, it's that person that you've trusted before with something and they haven't betrayed you. Seek them out and say, can we talk? You know, can you come and let me just unload. I just need to unpack the situation. And then when necessary, ask for help. I mean, a lot of you are here on a Friday night and you relate to someone who's one of your leaders, a group leader. You might want to just grab that phone and say, hey, I need help. Stuff's going on. And if you need to call Batman, then call Batman, Superman. Don't feel like he's a rival from another franchise. Call anyone. Tell someone first. And then go out of your way to say, I need help here. And then finally, I want to challenge you to look ahead. Think down the track. Because I think this tunnel gets very dark and we forget that we're on a moving track and we're going to be through this in a short period of time. And the more I'm thinking doom and gloom, the more I'm like, there is no hope, there is no light in this tunnel, the less hope there is, and the more prone I'm going to be to taking my own life.
Hey, this is Lawrence Fishburne. Or some of you might think of me as Morpheus. I'd like to talk with you about a pretty serious subject. The subject is suicide. In 2009, there were 160 active duty soldier suicides reported. Every one of these suicides was a tragic, avoidable loss that deeply affected the lives of every person that cared for and loved that person. Now, talking about how you feel inside is, well, it's healthy. And recognizing when you need help and having the courage to ask for it is not a sign of weakness. It is a show of inner strength. So, if you're feeling overwhelmed by your situation, if you are feeling isolated, alone, if you're feeling ashamed, confused, or you're just feeling plain scared, you need to talk to somebody. There are resources that are available to you because you matter. You matter to your families, your friends, to your country. All of us value you and need you. So you don't have to feel alone, and you don't have to feel like there's no hope, because no soldier stands alone. Thanks for listening.
And he's talking to soldiers, and you might think, well, that's for soldiers. But if a soldier who's so trained and focused and has a goal and a plan can get into that place where it doesn't seem like he can help. One of the most traumatic moments in my life was walking into work on a Monday morning and asking around, how's it possible that I'm here before Richard, my boss? And people looked at me and said, you haven't heard the news. It was in the paper yesterday, but he took his life. He first took the life of his two children and his wife and then himself. And the obvious response is like, wow. I mean, this was the treasurer of Durban, you know, the city treasurer. This was a guy going places. He had houses all over. The cars he drove could make me drool. He got into some debt and he needed to sell one of the houses to pay the debt back. But pride wouldn't let him, and the shame of letting know. And so he decided to end his family. Imagine if someone had been there that weekend when Richard was considering ending his life. Imagine how that story could have been so much different. Regrets. And I don't expect you to remember everything we've shared today. And this is also not something you're going to go and give to anyone. But it's something to allow you, to help hand those out, to recall some of what we've shared today, some of the key points, okay? And God is going to use you, I believe, to be the person in someone's life who can help that person have a better future. God has a plan and a purpose for every life. You might just be the person to remind someone that they have a plan and a purpose. And maybe it's for you. You know, let's not think we're in a place where we would never consider suicide. Never forget when something had gone wrong in a movement that I was leading and I thought I had done something you know, that couldn't change back, that this whole movement was going to fail. And I remember hurtling down, you know, that off-ramp where there's a McDonald's on Bayers-Nordier on the N3, and that thought came to me, just steer the car towards that bridge and just end it. Problem solved. Remorse over. I want to thank God that thought didn't stay with me, because I wouldn't have been really well up and speaking this morning if I had done that at 120 k's an hour. I'm sure you'd agree. There's always a better future ahead. Speak to someone. Remember the hope. Look ahead to a better life, a better future. Everyone going? Let's pray together. Father, I pray that in this moment you would come and you would help us carry whatever we are dealing with at the moment. That, Lord, as our one hand is full of pain, would you come and stand on the other hand? Would you give us the awareness that there are coping resources in you that are beyond what we could ever imagine? Thank you for the friends that you've placed around us, for this community, for our families. Lord, in those moments of darkness and gloom, would you come and be the light in that situation? Would you send someone our way where that's needed? Someone who's sensitive to signs and someone who can read the risk. And Lord, maybe this morning I need to be bold enough to take that first step and say, yeah, I've had thoughts and feelings that aren't positive, thoughts of ending my life. And Lord, I ask for your help. I ask that you would come and help me in this situation, that you would help me carry the load that I'm feeling, bear these feelings of sadness, and that, Lord, you would give me the courage to go and tell someone, to ask for help, to have a look toward the future and see what's coming my way despite the trials that I'm going through at the moment. And Lord, I pray that you would guide our lives, that in this room this morning, that you would preserve us for long days, that we would always know that there is a hope and a future. Help me too, Lord, to be sensitive when someone around me is feeling like their life is too heavy. Help me to be the one to bring life and hope, to help refer, to connect them, to bring words of comfort and hope and healing. Thank you that you've chosen to use us as your agents of mercy and comfort and change in our darkest moments. We pray this in the amazing name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. As always, you want to speak to someone, please do that. Yes.
There's this, one of the sayings that I like. It says, good enough is not your destiny. You're a child of God and you're created for excellence. And I know as teenagers sometimes you go through challenges and everything seems to be ending. But I just want to let you know that even though we go through storms in life, God will always be there. If we take a look at example at Paul, when they were in jail, they were imprisoned, and in the end, they rejoiced. And when we all sinned, and people thought it was all over, and that there wouldn't be hope, 2,000 years ago, a man died on the cross for us. So today, I just wanted to remember that only God can turn a mess into a message, a trial into a triumph, and a victim into a victory. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Any other comments? Open mic. Thank you, that was profound. God bless you. We will be taking our next fighting action next week. It's not a week to bring your drugs, unless we're going to have a burning maybe, but sorry, Asha, I know you wanted to bring some more. No dealing in the youth room, please. Okay? CK will be sharing on fighting, drugs, alcohol, and stuff. Okay? God bless you.